SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From snowy upstate New York. Good morning. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com, where we got 6 inches of snow. Yeah, it was crazy yesterday. And every time you looked out and thought, okay, it's ending, it then snowed another couple of hours. And it's supposed to warm up and get rid of this, but boy, oh boy, everybody isn't already put upon and despondent. This didn't do any favors to the mood. It's pretty at a glance, and then of course you're staying inside. So for the most part, although. To Tina's ever loving credit, she went out there to snow blow, and it's heavy, wet. You know, it's March snow is the worst snow. Actually, May snow, for those of you that ever have lived up here. May and June snow, that's the snow that really you want to have your heart ripped out. How about that? I can remember. There was a year at Colgate, in fact, where it snowed on graduation weekend. I think on the Friday, it snowed. That was like May 30th. It was crazy. It was crazy. Upstate New York. If everything goes right, months from now, ideally, if things get to where they need to be, and I don't know how much I need to speculate on the protocols and so forth, but I'm sure if some of you saw yesterday, for instance, Brad Wiseborn. An op-ed piece of sorts describing his own experience with COVID, and really a harrowing account, to say the least. And he's feeling better. That's just one of what's going to be any number of others for people who've asked, do they know anybody that has had the actual the full-fledged effects. And if you haven't seen it, I would recommend reading it. It'll shake you up. So glad that Brad is feeling better. And certainly for those that really didn't know anybody that you had a specific association with. I mean, certainly enough people around the industry have worked with Brad and certainly with the Wiseboard family, with Barry. They've got, Brad and his wife have got a 7-month-old child. And so, Tina and I, the same, concerns for, Zachary and Andrea and their newborn baby. I mean, it's hard to believe that four weeks ago we were 2 trips to Rochester to enjoy the baby, and now just we'll wait and see when we can go enjoy her more. So right now we're enjoying her through video calls and photographs. So everybody's got to be on their appropriate behavior. So the racing side yesterday, certainly people taking advantage of the opportunity at Fahner and Will Rogers Downs. If you didn't see the handle, I know they did over 2 million at Will Rogers, and last week they did 1.5 million. So in just a week, Fahner didn't publish the cumulative, but you can look at the numbers by individual race, and you know, I'm sure it's, you know, the numbers are robust. And you know, as Johnny told you yesterday, ExpressBet, and I understand other ADWs have seen a big uptick in new accounts. It's a very odd dynamic, you know, not to say that, you know, the industry, quote unquote, is benefiting. I mean, that's just silly, but it's certainly a unusual circumstance that is providing, you know, people a chance to look at racing, to keep them occupied. And, you know, over the next couple of days, if you haven't looked ahead, the cards, you know, given what the situation is, the cards are, you know, quite full and robust. And you know, today, again, at both Will Rogers and at Fahner, those are the two venues. Then they're both running again on Wednesday. And you know, for instance, today, Will Rogers starts at 1:15 Central. You've got 12 by 8 by 5. You actually got an allowance. It's got that smaller field, but then 10 by 6 by 11 by 6 by 11 by 11. And at Fahner, same kinds of, you know, nice full fields. And you know, some things that you're looking at that you probably have never really, you know, a lot of people, you know, looking at these venues for the first time. There is a stake today. There's the Tondi at Fahner, the $15,000 Tondi, three quarters for three and ups. And there's also the Nebraska Bred Orphan Kissed, and that's a $20,000 stake. So a couple of stakes today, the features. And then tomorrow, they both run again, but also, of course, Tampa picks up, and so does Gulfstream. And if you haven't looked at those cards, certainly, you know, tomorrow, Gulfstream, 12 by 12 by 6 by 12 by 10 by 7 by 9 by 7 by 9 by 11. And the same kind of card on Thursday at Gulfstream. 10 race cards both the days, and at Tampa, 8 race card tomorrow. And, you know, particularly the late action, the late pick four, 8 by 10 by 10 by 10. So lots to keep you occupied and keep you distracted. Oaklawn resumes on Thursday. They've got a terrific card Thursday. We'll start to do some capping Thursday night as well at Turfway. All full fields. 11 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12. Unbelievable. So, yeah, for those that have preached or have, you know, floated the less is more concept, I mean, it's going to get a full-fledged, you know, testing here. And this, I don't think it should come as a surprise either. I mean, it does make sense that, you know, the reduced venues. We're going to talk about the transport aspect of things. Andy Simoff's going to join us after the first break. And Andy will talk about how his transportation company is handling things. I can tell you that it's been logistically, it's been challenging, and I wanted to get some input from Andy on this. Um, I know from in our own case, you know, we had our 3-year-old filly that was injured and whose career was cut short, and she needed to get to Kentucky. She's been covered this morning, actually, by Motown, and she had to wait. I mean, 3 weeks, 2.5, 3 weeks to get a ride to Kentucky. And actually, the timing worked out all right because she was cycling, and so we kind of hit it kind of luckily, to be honest. But I knew that this was a conversation that we were going to want to have, and owners and horsemen that, you know, are going to be, you know, dealing with how to move their horses. And there's also some decisions, you know, I don't know if they're going to be made immediately, but, you know, you do wonder about how quickly in the jurisdictions where we're not running right now, New York, let's use New York as the perfect discussion point. How much you go forward and tread water, you know, with your stock, if you want to turn some out, if you, you know, have borderline mares that are right, you know, you're at a you know, decision point anyway, about retiring and breeding. I mean, these are the kind of decisions I know that are coming to the fore. So I wanted to address some of these each day, one area or another. And yesterday, of course, Alex Waldrop joining us and NTRA providing the, you know, the template and the resources for industry stakeholders and those that, you know, need information and direction under the circumstances. We're also going to talk to Louis Carvajal, excuse me, who's back from Dubai, and Louis will give you a firsthand account. And if you saw Marcus Hirsch's piece yesterday at DRF, Marcus detailing and talking to most of the horsemen that had the two dozen U.S.-based runners, and how the Dubai officials are handling getting those horses back to North America. And instead of that suggested April 4th transport out, it looks as if they're going to get some of them out as early as tomorrow. And all the personnel that had been on hand, they've come back and Maydan staff are looking after the horses for the American interests. So I thought we'd get in contact with some, and we'll start with Louis. And of course, you know, Jerry O'Dwyer with the, you know, the craziest experience, literally flying there and then turning right around and flying back as well. So Andy Serling is going to join us too. And Andy, ideally getting ready for the weekend broadcasts emanating from New York and on Fox. And Andy's been sick himself for a couple of weeks, and so he's been sort of sequestered, and he'll be back at it this weekend. And, you know, the way we're shaping up right now, of course, you're looking at, you know, the Gulf Stream and Santa Anita, Golden Gate, Oaklawn, Tampa. I mean, that's the core. I should mention Charlestown, too. Charlestown running, and then the quarter horse racing at both. They won't be on TV, but Remington and Los Al both running. And I think I saw where Cal Expo is going to get back underway. So there's, you know, as long as we maintain the status quo for now, there's something to look forward to. Looking forward to a visit as well from Reeve McGahee, Shug's son, and last week got his first professional victory in his training career, and of course took that string to Oaklawn. And you know, one of the unique aspects of Reeve starting his career this way, a lot of the horses from John Ed Anthony, originally Lob Lolly, of course, and literally the same person that helped Shug start his training career. Kind of neat. And under the, you know, the short leaf in recent years, John Ed Anthony. So we'll talk to Reeve and Jeremy Plonk too. Want to get Jeremy in, and you know, in addition to his thoughts about what we saw Saturday at Fairgrounds, and looking ahead to Florida Derby Day, want to talk to Jeremy about the resource under the circumstances that Night School is, because the number of people that are, you know, taking an interest in racing, there's, if you're looking for something to direct people to, beside the, you know, the good written materials, the strong, you know, library of handicapping information that's out there, Night School has got this monstrous treasury on virtually every topic in the handicapping arsenal. And so this, if somebody says to you, you know, where do I go for, you know, where can I go for some instruction and learn some basics, and here's some, send them to Night School, and we'll let Jeremy riff on that and how to maybe approach it, because it is, it's a huge treasury of conversation from every possible perspective. So we'll do a little Night School refresher, or at least a roadmap through Night School for people that are hoping to, you know, learn how to bet and play, and how to approach what those PPs look like and what they mean, and how to take advantage of them. So there you go. The lineup, and we'll head to the first break. I can tell you that news came in the last half hour from Tokyo, and as expected, the Olympics are going to be postponed till next year. And I suppose that's that's one of the advantages of, you know, of having an event that is run every 4 years. So, and of course, Olympics have been pushed around by small things like wars. So this is not a new wrinkle, a new phenomena. But here you go. 2020 Tokyo Olympics will have to wait. Japan and the IOC agreed to push them back to 2021. So I guess only fourth time dating back to 1896 that there's been postponements. And the other ones were both World War I and World War II. So there you go. Athletes on the American team. 1,700. Wow. So they'll at least get a chance to compete. Woodbine has delayed, of course, the start of their season. That came as well yesterday with Ontario, the province, mandated non-essential businesses to close today at noon. And, or actually, make that today at midnight. But essential care for horses only. No regular training hours at Woodbine. So, Jim Lawson saying that under those conditions, they don't believe they could be possibly ready for the April 18th opening. Once the government of Ontario allows non-essential business to reopen, training operations are expected to resume. So, and then Woodbine will come up with a start date for their meet. Most other venues are allowing for training. There's been some adjustment to schedules. You know, fairgrounds staying open until April 11th at least. Hoping to talk to a couple people down there today too. So they've got adjusted training hours. New York is taking Sundays off training-wise. So everybody doing what they can. We'll take a break. Andy Simoff's going to join us to talk about transport, logistic issues, moving horses around. Louis Carvajal, Andy Serling, Reeve McGahee, Jeremy Plonk, and more. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on
We're back at the races, 25 into hour one on this Tuesday. Wanted to, on a daily basis, this week, keep everybody sort of up to speed on the various areas of concern and management when it comes to your horses and, what the stakeholders are dealing with. And Andy Simoff is going to join us. And, of course, we talked to Andy weeks ago about the situation in Pennsylvania. But in this particular case, we're going to rely, on his transport business is his stakeholding element. And that was the focus of, that discussion. But, from an execution standpoint of moving horses around, this seems to be something that hasn't really been pursued yet, and I only thought to broach it because we had our filly that we wanted to get from the East Coast to Kentucky for a cover and had real trouble getting her there. And so Andy Simoff joins us, Simoff Transport. Andy, good morning. Hope everybody's okay, safe, and healthy. Oh, we didn't hear you there. I'm sorry, Andy.
I said, so far, so good. So we're hanging in there for now.
Andy, explain the procedures and some of the things that you're dealing with from a transport standpoint, and how the training community and owners, what they need to know about this. Are you having flow issues, and what's the scene out there?
Well, the scene is mostly status quo as far as you need your Coggins, your health certificates, and all your papers. The main problem is like everything else, the economy slowed down so much that there's not a great demand. So I would, like when you were talking about your problem getting to Kentucky, it's just everything slowed down to a crawl with the closing of the racetracks, and some tracks aren't letting horses in. New York's not letting people in. Laurel's not letting people in. So everybody's kind of sitting still right now. So it's hard to make a load to go, from the East Coast to Kentucky. The breeding has kind of slowed a little bit, and everybody's having trouble filling loads. So it's more of a demand than any real restrictions. And the demand's been lessened by all the regulations put in by these tracks not allowing horses in and out, which personally I really don't understand. The horses don't carry the disease. The drivers don't have to get out of the truck. So I don't understand where these guys are making these rules where you can't move the horses. But that's what they've come up with, and that's really slowed everything down.
Are you finding that... But potential for some mares, and of course, we are right in the middle of breeding season. Are you finding that some mares are staying local, Pennsylvania, New York, instead of maybe going to Kentucky? Are they finding a cover, locally?
I would suppose so, because my Kentucky business has slowed down greatly. So is my Florida business. Like, for example, today, thank God, I have a trip for Al Goldberg. He's out on the training center in Jersey, so he's not affected by this. So I'm down there today picking up 10 of his two-year-olds to bring north. But as far as the regulations at the border and all, there hasn't been any real crackdown other than they'll check a driver's temperature and make sure, your paperwork's in order. But other than that, there hasn't been any real... any real restrictions put on us per se as shippers. It's just the demand has dropped so much because everybody's kind of sitting still. The Kentucky part I really can't figure out because people are still wanting to breed. It's just I guess they've just slowed down maybe economically. They're rethinking it. I'm not sure what the reason is.
That's interesting. I was really... just curious if you were staging as well, because it provides another challenge if you can't pool if you can't pool multiple horses on let's say a Maryland to Kentucky, if you can't put two or three together, you know, all of a sudden it's a major expense on somebody to, you know, to basically ship a horse essentially alone going out. Usually at this time of year, I imagine pooling, you know, making multiple stops and grabbing a bunch of horses on a way, you know, to Florida and back and to Kentucky and back. Typically, this is prime season.
Yes, exactly right. You hit it on the head. It's hard to get the loads together. The other night I went to Kentucky with four horses, which for me is probably not even break even, but they're good clients. You know, Evie Novak at New Farm out of Mary wanted to send down. A couple guys from Maryland, Capuano's had some to go. And I did it because I got to take care of these guys because they take care of me. So it was more or less between two drivers and a tractor trailer. If I didn't make anything, I probably lost, I'm sure. But, you know, you got to take care of the people that are good to you when things get tough because these guys got to get their horses down to get bred and whatever. You know, a couple of these mares were coming off the track and they wanted to breed them. Once these mares have their foals, you got 7 days. You want to get them out there to get them on the foal heat to breed back. So time is of the essence. So you can't really tell them, well, I don't have enough right now. You got to bite the bullet and just go, which is what we've been doing.
Explain the cost structure so that people understand what the expenses are involved and how building a load benefits everybody price wise.
Yeah, that's a good question. What happens is a lot of times I'll take a horse to New York by himself, you know, and it'll be, you know, $1,000 for like a race return or whatever it is, $1,200. And the owners will call me and complain. Well, why is it so much? I sent a horse to Kentucky for $600. Well, the $600 is because we had 10 of them on there, you know. So you try to get as many as you can. You know, I can hold 10 stall and a halves. So that's your goal, is to try to get 10 on there anywhere you go. Or if they want box stalls, then you cut it down to, you know, box stalls are bigger and you can only put less horses on there. So that cuts it down. But you try to keep it up. You know, you don't really want to go anywhere for less than, you know, $6,000-$7,000, because a trip like that, you have two drivers, you have attendance, you have fuel, tolls, everything. So you try to keep it up there. But like in these times, it's not working that way. And we're just doing the best we can and trying to get everybody, you know, where they want to go. Even if we can't make a lot of money, because, these are strange times and it's never been like this before. So we're just trying to survive for the next how many weeks this thing's going to last.
Andy, are you in contact with what normally would be, you know, essentially rivals, the transport business? There's probably... Five major van companies. Is there any coordination between the van services?
Yes, absolutely. We all try to work together. You know, if I don't have a horse to go, if I don't have enough horses, I'll call like Chip Hudson at Creech. I'll say, Chip, what do you got? And in turn, he does the same with me. So we try to keep everybody covered. But, even in these times, where everybody's so low on horses moving that sometimes even if we put it together, there's not enough. So sometimes you just have to take the initiative yourself and take care of your clients and get it done. Because especially with the breeding, you know, you don't want these guys to miss a breeding date and then they get screwed up and they got to wait another month. So Kentucky, as you know, where you're married, it's tricky. You got to get them out there because time is of the essence with a Kentucky trip. More so than like a Florida trip right now, all these tracks up here are closed, so there's nobody wanting to really come up here. If they do, it's not a big rush and we can work on it because they're not looking for a race. They're not, you know, shooting for a stake or something, which, you know, can come up in other times. But now, with everything shut, you know, my Florida business is very, very slow. Like I said, other than, you know, thank God for, Goldberg had those horses to come up today. That's a nice load. And also I've been doing some Canada work, too, because those guys were all afraid they were going to lock up the border. And for some reason, they couldn't get the guys from Canada to come and get them out of Gulfstream. So I did some Canada work, which I've done a little bit, but not like I've done the last couple of weeks. I did a few trips, so that was nice.
And of course, there, you know, for those that are unaware of this aspect, when it comes to crossing the border, you got the customs brokers to deal with, and you got Health Canada to clear, and there's certain more unique aspects to getting across the border with any with any product, or in this case with service. The other aspect too, Andy, that occurs to me is And I hadn't brought it up last week with Tom Ventura, but the horses coming out of the sale last week at OBS, and where they scattered to, how much service out of OBS was there to get horses to their new owners or back to their other facilities?
Yeah, well, the OBS numbers were way down for me, obviously because of this virus and all. And people just didn't attend the sale, and there was a lot of buybacks was the first thing. But I did take a couple loads out of there, and the horses that were going to – the only problem we ran into were the New York horses, because they were unable to enter the stable area during that time. But now they've all shut down. But at the time, they were still letting the horses in to Maryland, and they were still letting them into parks. So that was okay. In fact, they're still letting them into parks now that parks hasn't shut it coming in. But the New York horses, I only had a handful, and I took them up to Overbrook Farm near Monmouth, and I put a couple over there, and they're training them there until they can figure out what to do with them. Now, yesterday I took another load out of Ocala, and we got into problems going into Laurel. I had some horses for Lacey Gaudet, and she just told me to take them to the farm right by Laurel, and then she's going to keep them there for hopefully this thing blows over. So it's been an inconvenience, and it's hurting, it's hurting everybody, but, people are dealing with it as best they can, I guess.
Andy Simoff with us, Simoff Transport. And, Andy, how many drivers do you employ, and how many rigs?
I got five tractor trailers, and you need two drivers per trailer, so that's 10. That's when we're busy. During the off season when we're slow, like now, we'll have two or three trailers out at once. So you need between 10 and 15. Then you have the straight trucks that just run around local, and they can go by them. They're short trips. You don't need two drivers, but anything over 4 or 5 hours, you got to send two drivers to relieve one another and keep going. So, like Kentucky, Florida, Canada, all that, you need two drivers. So, you try to keep 15 guys if you can. It's slow right now, so some guys are off. And in fact, I have one guy that lives in Panama. He went home for the winter for a month off, and now he can't come back. So, we're dealing with everything that everybody else is dealing with. It's strange time, and just hope we get through it. And I don't know, I read that thing about Bradley Weisbord on the computer, and that looks really scary. So it's you don't know who to believe, you don't know which. Some guys know worse than the flu, it's this, and then you read the thing about Bradley, so you don't know which way to go with this thing.
Well, there's only essentially, being as cautious as possible, because there's no benefit to being, foolhardy or. But at the same time, I mean, there's parts of this that, in terms of carrying on, and the industry is the perfect example. I mean, you owners of mares, they've got to plan for next year for, they've got to get these mares covered, and there's got to be horses in the pipeline. And so the service that you and everybody that's working on this end and working at the Stallion Farms, and I mean everybody that's trying to keep the the train, no matter how small the train is right now, they're keeping it on the rails.
Right. I just hope that they can keep doing that, because it's an important factor in this business. It's now's their busy time, and they need to get these horses bred and covered, and everything needs to go according to as planned, as much as they can. They can't just stop, like you said, because then next year there'll be no more horses.
Yeah, no good. What about your own training, Eddie? What are you doing with your horses right now?
Well, they opened Delaware back up, so I moved them over here, and they've been good over here. I mean, they have some protocol. Everybody gets checked at the gate for a temperature. Every morning when you come in, they check everybody. And then they'll go through all the employees that live on the grounds, and they'll have to come up and get checked. And once they check you, they give you an armband and, a different color every day, and you have to display that to security. And so far, knock on wood, everything's been fine here. We don't have a whole bunch of horses here yet, and we're trying to keep our distance. We're not getting – there's no real clock or stand where everybody gathers or anything like that, so – everybody can watch their horses train from different areas. So it's been good, and they've been real good here as far as accepting horses, and accepting help and, getting people checked out. So far, so good. It's just, like everybody else, there's nowhere to race them. But, hopefully that clears up, because it's good. I only have a few here. I got about 10, but, you got guys like Jamie Ness that have hundreds of them, and there's nowhere to run them, so it's hard on those guys.
Well, we'll continue to hope that what we have right now with the handful of facilities running can continue, and hopefully any of the restrictions as they are loosened up, and we'll get back. And of course, spring will go a long way to lifting moods. In the meantime, people like Andy Simoff and his team doing what they have to do to help all of you that are moving your mares and getting them covered. And you can connect with Andy. Simoff, horsetransport.com. Whether you're in the Northeast or wherever you are, Andy's up and down the seaboard. Andy, I really appreciate this. Stay safe, and if we can communicate anything, let us know.
Okay, you do the same, and I just hope this thing hopefully it gets done here and we get back on track like everybody else.
Exactly. Andy Simoff, everybody, and Andy and his team. Those big, beautiful stainless trucks of his with the red lettering. I'm looking forward to pulling into the Oklahoma this summer and seeing one right in the middle of the yard in the back, parked and unloading horses. Andy Simoff, everybody. Let's take a break. About 15 to the top of the hour. We'll actually stay in the Mid-Atlantic and connect with Louis Carvajal. Louis with the arduous trip to and from Dubai, and having to wait for Imperial Hint to make his way home. We'll find out about the experience that Louis had and more. Andy Serling in a little bit, and Reeve McGahey on the occasion of his first win last week. Looking forward to talking to Reeve. Back after this, Louis Carvajal.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Won an online tournament that boasts no rake, skim, or takeout with a $10,000 first prize? Here it is. Play ExpressBet Live online Saturday, March 21st. ExpressBet Live is for account holders only, with no registration or other pesky fees. Simply make a live $20 wager on one horse in 10 competition races. Earn the most and collect $10,000. Plus, there's from $1,000 to $4,000 in additional prizes. The top 30 finishers automatically qualify for the $50,000 ExpressBet Showdown. Sweep the card and earn earn a juicy $5,000 bonus. Don't have an ExpressBet account? Visit ExpressBet.com today and qualify for a $100 bonus. Then register free for ExpressBet Live, the best tournament value going. Play live online with ExpressBet Saturday, March 21st, and it could be your day, but only if you play. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Public Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
¡Listos!
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down. She runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown with Golden Brown.
We're back at the races, about 12 minutes to the top of the hour. Andy Serling will join us after 10. Reeve McGahee in a little bit as well. Right now, Louis Carvajal joins us, and the odyssey involving the horses that we're hoping to run Saturday night in Dubai at the World Cup, including Imperial Hint. And Louis back yesterday, flying back, and now waits for Imperial himself and gets him back. Let me say good morning to Louis Carvajal. Louis, you and the family, everybody okay?
Hey, Steve, how are you? It's good. I'm glad to get back in the USA, even though that I am in 2 weeks of quarantine. I can't get near my horses yet. So we're strict to stay away from the track until 14 days, which I think it's good. You know, it's good for everyone.
Explain the way this all transpired, you know, how and when you were informed, and the arrangements that are being made by the Dubai Racing Club to handle the horses. Because from what I can understand, Marcus Hirsch's piece yesterday, basically all the grooms and all the staff, they all came back, and the horses are being tended to by Maydan personnel.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, Steve, it was kind of like shocking. We, you know, we had this problem for a while now with the coronavirus. And, you know, I was worried at the beginning when we shipped the horse from Saudi Arabia to Dubai on March 3rd. I went to Dubai with the horse. And, you know, I was worried about if it was going to be canceled or not. But, you know, being a week away from racing at Dubai, and then everything seems like it was going to be, we were going to be able to run until when it was 2 days ago, or a day ago, actually. Horses that they shipped from USA I believe it was on the 16th or 15th of March. We got the rest of the horses in Dubai. I got to see a lot of the people that I know. And then, 2 days? Well, actually, like about 3 days ago, all the horses from Japan came in, probably about 15, 20 horses that came in, and people also from Japan. So definitely now we were all there only 6 days before the race. And in the afternoon, after we got after we feed the horse in the afternoon, we walked the horses, and I went to the office there, and then I got a phone call that it was not official, but the races had been canceled. And for 1 second, I said, well, maybe not official yet, but I didn't believe, because everybody just got there, especially the Japanese horse, 2 days ago. And then, of course, they made it officially, and they gave us 48 hours. That's what they told me. They gave me the phone call. It said, cancellation. It's official now. You guys have 48 hours to get out of the country. Otherwise, you guys are going to be stuck here indefinitely. So we talk about the horses that were going to be left there, which I think they're in good hands. They got good people. They got very professional, taking care of horses. They've always been taking care of very expensive horses. Champion, they've been taking care of over there. So it's something that I wasn't worried much about, it because they were going to try to send these horses back to USA as soon as they can. But everything went chaos. People all over, Doug O'Neill's people, Billy Mott, his son, Riley Mott, that I got to meet there. Everybody was going crazy to set up plane tickets. They got me first going to Canada back to Tampa, and actually they canceled because the flight was canceled. And at the end of the day, you know, Steve, they made it. They did a good job putting everybody on a plane back home, and supposedly the horses are supposed to leave there tomorrow. Coming back to USA, they got the okay from U.S. Custom here in New Jersey, and so the horses should be able to come here tomorrow.
So where will he come back to you in Tampa, or are you going to, where could he go?
I have talked to, before I shipped the horse to Dubai, I talked to Bruce Jackson and Fairhill, Equine Therapy Center, we went last
sure.
year, and they did such a wonderful job there. And I talked to him before Dubai that I wanted to send the horse to the same place in Fairhill when he came back from Dubai. So I called him, and I as soon as I find out that as soon as we get the horse to USA, we're going to send him to Bruce and Fairhill, and the horse will be there for at least for a month or maybe more. All depends when Mama Park's gonna open for stable, the way that everything, what's going on here, we're kind of like, we don't know yet when it's gonna open for all the horses. So that's where it's gonna be in Imperial Hand right now. And I think most of the horses they're coming from Dubai, they're going to go somewhere in Kentucky to have a couple of weeks off, a month off after that long trip.
It's easy to say now, but it it does seem a little nuts that they were going ahead and that they thought, you know, days ago that they were going to be able to run this, I suppose. But at the same time, you know, the horses were assembling and, you know, they were on site, the existing group, and then, you know, everybody else made arrangements. Certainly it feels like Aidan O'Brien's decision to pull out, that showed some, a little bit of foresight, you know, but for everybody else, I mean, this is just a harrowing experience. I guess I don't know why we thought that they were going to be able to pull this off, frankly.
Definitely that. And I guess we didn't see how big this with the virus was going to be. You know, we kind of like stood back and then we thought that this was just going to be something more simple about it, but we didn't see the big picture. And I think it was the right decision to make to cancel this. But I thought it was a little bit awkward to wait that long and wait for everyone to be there and then cancel. Why wait until the Japanese horses got there and then 2 days later cancel? I think they had they thought that maybe they can pull it off, but always to help people, grooms and jockeys, everybody, you know, that comes first. There's going to be many races later on and opportunities later on. It's just that I think it was a mishandle a little bit. You know, Steve, it's like, you know, I was there, so it wasn't that not as bad for me that it was for our friends and colleagues that they left a week ago from the USA, and then Japanese horses who got there 2 days before they canceled. I think that was more, I don't know, insane or something to fly away halfway the world and then just a day, 2 days later cancel it, it's like I say, you know, right now it's you see all this in the news and this is very serious stuff, and you know, it's at the end of the day, you know, it's safety is always first, like, you know.
No doubt. How full was the flight that you came back on?
Completely full.
Wow.
I tried first to get flight they have flight to Orlando and New York, and trying to get the guy who he was helping me out, I took to Dubai with me, and get him in the plane. We got the news probably around 5:36 o'clock in the afternoon that the races that were canceled, and by 9 o'clock already we had a flight for my worker that he needed to be in the plane by 2:30 in the morning. He needed to be in the plane to New York, and then my plane, it was at 2:30 also, and then they canceled mine. So and it was like a like an earthquake. It was just crazy, especially when they say you got 48 hours to leave. If you don't leave in 48 hours, you might get stuck here. So I run to the barn and get everything set for Imperial Hen, talk to the groom from there, what it needed to be done. I call the vet from there and tell them what we're going to need to do when the horse leaves, and accept how much fee we got to give them, and the buy them is going to get, and pack everything and give Imperial Hen a big kiss goodbye. And it just is like leaving a kid behind I can't take with me. And and I don't know when he was coming back, because the schedule first, it was coming back on April 4th or April 1st. And it changes all the time. But now that his name is Chris, Santelli. He's the one that's in charge, managing all this, shipping with the horses. And I talked to him, and, you know, the good news was that U.S. Customs allowed to bring those horses in. And they were going to be able to do on the 25th, which is, that made me more happy that my horses was only going to be a couple of days left without me or some of my guys seeing over. So it was hard, Steve. It's been tough with all this, what's going on races, and you don't know where you're going to go. Also, races are going to be canceled. This is my first time I ever went through something like this, and believe me, see, I had a little bit of gray hair before I left to Dubai. I'm probably white as the snow in my hair right now. But it's part of the game, but, you know, once the horses, it's here in USA, and it's at the farm with Bruce Jackson eating some green grass there, and then myself with my family, and everybody's okay, and everybody shipped okay. That's already a winning race right there.
Well, and I was going to ask you how the family, you've got the young child, and I also wanted to ask about Mr. Mimone and how they're faring.
Yeah, I just got done talking to Mr. Mimone not too long ago, and it's the same thing. It just worry how if we made it back home okay, and when the horse is coming back, and he's okay at home and not going anywhere either. And then my kids are good, but you know, it's very scary, Steve, because if he has sneeze or I cough, I'm worried. If it's somebody else sneezing or coughing, we all worry. But so far, it's been good. We're trying to follow the procedures everybody's saying on TV and what we hear on social media, try to do the best we can, and just pray that everything goes well for everybody, and it's tough. But, right now, Mr. Mimone, it's good, and my kids and family there, everybody's healthy so far. So, hopefully it'll stay this way.
Well, knock on wood. Certainly hope that's the case. And your staff, of course, at Tampa, you get to continue to run, and you got a couple in tomorrow, including homebred for Mrs. Generazio, that 4-year-old New Jersey bred, Saucy Derek, tomorrow.
Yes. I talked to Mr. Generazio also not too long ago, and it's great to have horses for this man. I was assistant trainer for Bob Durso when I...
Right.
Mrs. Generazio and Patricia, they were there at Mammon Park, and they had this good horse, Precious Passion, I think it was. Precious Passion. I forgot the name of the horse they used to run in the United Nations. It opened up 20 lines. And I always had that memory about this horse who ran the Breeders' Cup. He almost pulled that off with Elvis Trujillo, I think it was, and he went to the lead, and 10 lengths in front, he just got beaten. So we got, we got all Jersey breds, and I think tomorrow we got a good chance to win a race or two. I got another horse my wife owns, and trying to make a little bit of money it's tough times are coming in, Steve. Tough time. I everybody in my barn is worried about it, if they're going to keep their job, if they don't race no more. And everybody, they got like a reunion and a meeting, and they call me and said, even if I cut down the pay, they would still work for us. That they worry about they're going to lose their job. All my clients that I have, I have no problem with them. So they all have their grooms and our workers still going to have their jobs. And hopefully we'll win a couple races. It's been a very slow winter for me. But I can't wait to get to Mammon Park. Usually that's my home over there for my horses, so I know we do good there. But, yeah, they have a good chance on Wednesday and tomorrow, and hopefully I get to win a race with Mr. Generacio. Otherwise, I don't want him to fire me. I got like 4 seconds and seconds for him. I just want to win a race for him before he fires me. But now he's a really nice gentleman. I'm glad that I got to work for him.
They're terrific, and it's amazing how much success in recent years. And they spread some horses around, and between Chris Clement and Jimmy Ryerson, and you now with you, and it's been an extended run. And what's amazing is how they've done it with these homebreds. One of the biggest successes of Disco Rico's career as a stallion has been with the Generazio program. It's amazing what they've done, and I actually got to spend part of Breeders' Cup this past year with Mrs. Generazio. We watched the turf sprint, and she was hoping that was it Disco Partner? I can't even remember now. This past season, but their long association with the New Jersey racing, and they've really had a big presence nationally these last several years. Well, Louis, anxious that your big horse gets home, Imperial Hint, and that you can start to refocus him towards some summer sprint goals, including maybe another Saratoga win, another grade one at Saratoga. How about make that the target?
Of course, I think I just talked to Mr. Mammon this morning, and I think that's going to be our plan again, and that would be something else. I've tried to win for 3 years in a row. Wow. That would be, if that happens, Steve, I would want the people from Saratoga Naira to make sure to make a statue of Imperial Hand in Saratoga.
Well,
it won't cost that much money, Steve, because it would be a little tiny statue, but it's
well, how many wins? I forget what is it. How many wins in a row of a stake is supposed to retire a trophy? I think 3 in a row, they retire a trophy. It's supposed to be the tradition. I don't know. They've already renamed the race once, but I don't think they're going to change it from the Vanderbilt to the Imperial Hint. But there may be an Imperial Hint coming in the future at Saratoga. Louis, stay safe. We'll be looking forward to hearing about Imperial coming home, as well as the other 26 North American-based horses as early as tomorrow. So I really appreciate this. I wanted everybody to hear a firsthand account of what transpired.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much for having me again on your show. And, the main thing is hopefully everybody gets home safe and the horses, and definitely will be more racing to come.
That's all we can do. In the meantime, you've got the horses at Tampa, and you get to run Tampa, and if there's anything at Gulfstream as well. But you've got at least you're lucky that way. You're one of the few that has got some options with the string right now. Louis Carvajal, everybody. Louis Carvajal Jr. and Imperial Hint, Mr. Mammon, and he ideally will be back safe tomorrow and head to Fair Hill. Let's take a break a little past the top of the hour, and Jeremy Plonk is going to join us. We got Jeremy coming, Reeve McGahee, Andy Serling, and more. Back after this at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horstman, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Sirius XM Sports presents...